something, and it is my child. That's important. Timothy is going to represent Paul. Paul's thinking is really seen in his child. So that's why it's important to see the right word here. The son is for God's delight, but here the child represents the father, the spiritual father, and we are both. We are children of God, we are sons of God. Sons of God for his delight, children of God to represent him, the God who is light, the God who is love.
Grace is a foundation, as was said. Be strong, stand fast in grace. Romans 5 says we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we sometimes think of the gentleness of grace and so on, and it doesn't seem like the word we might have thought of for our foundation. But it is an essential aspect of the foundation of the Christian. And if we're going to be, like is highlighted on the outline, if we're going to be soldiers, and we're going to be athletes, and we're going to be landowners who have crops that are being planted and nourished and harvested, then there has to be a place to stand. There has to be a foundation of grace for that standing, appreciating the work of grace, the grace of God, the God of grace, all these different ways in which that phrase is presented. And here it's the foundation. We stand, we are strong, and that is the solid place in which we can be these accomplish these other tasks.
And the link always in especially in this last epistle is in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
In everything, in every blessing, in every resources, in everything, it's all connected with Christ Jesus. It is not on its own. In the first chapter, I think life, the first verse, life in Christ Jesus. In the love, in the kind of verse, what is it? Verse 13 or 14. The love that is in Christ Jesus. In here, it's the grace which is in Christ Jesus. Salvation, it is in Christ Jesus. Faith that is in Christ Jesus. It's everything. Again, when everything is kind of, there is a disconnect sometimes. We want life. We want love. We want salvation. We want every, but we want it for our own. It's all linked with Christ, and we need to keep that in mind all the time, that there is nothing in itself. Everything is connected with the Lord Jesus. And that's why we need to take hold that in the time of declension, in the time of disarray, in the time of independent, where everybody wanted to have things in their own, it's all connected with Christ Jesus. And it's always secure in there. And it's for you and I to kind of take hold of that, but not again in itself. It's in Christ Jesus.
And that is seven times in this epistle. And it's important for us that it's the characteristic expression for Christianity.
Exactly.
It has nothing to do with any other circle. It belongs uniquely to the church. Mm. And so this is how important it is. It is the anointed one now in heaven. Mm. He was anointed on earth by God, but now he is anointed in heaven. And from there he sent the Holy Spirit and could share the anointing with us. We are brought into that. And he is at the same time Jesus, Jehovah, is salvation. So he's God blessed overall. How great he is. Mm.
Paul has mentioned in 2 Thessalonians that he has the same token in all the epistles. There was something common that Paul had a token for it, and certainly would be the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. That when you compare the ending of most of all his epistles, there is something about grace, because that's where the Apostle Paul can take a young brother like Timothy and tells him, be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus. Remember that verse we said in Hebrews chapter 13. It's a good thing for the heart to be established with grace. Because grace is not only the free undeserved favor. Because we don't get strong in the free undeserved favor only. That's probably in the way of salvation. But the grace really encompasses all the favors of God that he pours upon us. And yet, we know we are unworthy of it, but it really speaks of all the favors of God. And dear brethren, he gave us a lot of favors that are all found in Christ Jesus. And I trust that every individual can rehearse that verse, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor.
So faithfulness is spurred on or fueled by this grace, but the other attributes is there is the need for endurance, right? We talked about faithfulness is able to endure, to be in the midst of whatever is coming, to hold fast to what is reliable, who can be relied on. And so one of the features or the attributes that helps in this process of faithfulness is endurance. And he calls out the example of the soldier. The third one is striving lawfully. You know, we talked about the faithful and true, that it's in line with and in keeping with what God has made known. I can't try and do it in some other way. He that strives must strive lawfully. We must be in line with the mind of God, the will of God, the word of God, as in this pursuit and in this desire to more faithful prove. And then there is the labor. There is, I'm not sitting by. There's no sitting by. There is engagement. And we talked about the different levels of engagement and looking at the examples. We talked about engagement in hospitality. We talked about engagement in prayer. We talked about engagement in compassion and caring one for another. We talked about all of these things today. There is effort, laboring with the intent, with the view that there might be fruitfulness for God. This is really the key for faithfulness in our lives. We see it starting with the faithfulness of God, expressed fully in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at the history of these individuals who have helped the testimony and progress, and the Spirit of God records their faithfulness and their activity. It's incumbent upon us to respond to that grace, to be enduring, to stick with it. I think, Bill, you said it. It's worth it. Mm-hmm. It's worth it. To be focused and to strive lawfully and to be engaged.